Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Olivia, and we're so glad you're here today. Skylar Day is a singer-songwriter producer whose confessional approach to music has definitely made her an artist to watch. Her recent single, The Best Worst Thing, garnered her second place in the international songwriting competition out of 21,000 entries. That's a lot of entries, Skylar. And she also caught the attention of Grammy-winning Kacey Musgraves, who handpicked Skylar for a mentorship that led her to play at ACL Fest. Her latest single, Monsters, is out, which I love, and we're going to talk about it. In addition to her music career, you may know the Georgia native for her well-established acting career on shows such as NBC's Parenthood, which we're going to talk about, Law & Order SVU, also that, Pretty Little Liars, Raven's Home, and Fox's The Resident. Skylar, you have also, I feel like, been around for a long time. You've been in the industry for many years.
Forever.
So we're so happy to have you here. That's like a lot of big accomplishments, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been really doing all of that since I was about 10. So when I started both music and acting. So
yeah we're going to get into it. A long career. Yeah.
How are you doing today, though, outside of that long career?
I'm good. I'm, as you can hear in my voice, I'm sick, but I've got my Theraflu. I've got all my liquids. I'm like on all the medications, try and kill it. But, no, I'm good. I'm just plugging away on, new music and stuff, which anytime I get sick, I'm like the most, some people I feel like love the like chill moment of when you're sick and you could just like hang on the couch. Yeah. I'm the polar opposite. Like I become just enraged that I can't sing.
I understand that.
I think my husband's a musician too, and I feel like it's always, he always like gets hurt or gets sick like right when things are like really going well.
It never fails.
Yeah.
I was talking to my therapist yesterday, and I was telling her this. I had a show, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
What do you do? I was going to ask you, what do you do as a singer-songwriter when you can't sing and you have a show?
Honestly, well, it depends, because obviously with COVID now, it's like a little different. It used to be just like suck it up and go. And for that, it would just kind of be like do as much as you can. And then, you know, the episode of Friends where
the sexy Phoebe voice,
sick and she's got her sexy voice. Yeah. You kind of lean into that. You're like, sure. That's what
you pick your set list to like match your voice.
Yeah. Except for like sometimes my voice is just not raspy. It just sounds like I'm plugging my nose. So it's like, well, that's not the sexiest sound in the planet, but
takes all types, you know?
You know. But yeah, that's what I did. I have a funny story from one time when I was really sick a long time ago, and I had a show, and my grandmother, who's a singer, she suggested I have some whiskey. Well, I had never had, I was a child. Like I think I was 17 or 18, but she suggested whiskey, and I took her advice, and I'd never had whiskey before. And let me just tell you, I was tipsy at a show for her nursing home. And it was, I still look back and I'm like, how did anybody let me think that? Because I was like, oh my gosh, it worked. Okay. So I'll keep sipping on this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had no idea what it
helps though.
Before we jump in, I want to know more about your grandmother. So she's a singer also?
You can't mention a grandmother around Olivia. Olivia's
always we're grandma's girl, grandmother. So we love talking about grandmothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she passed just a little over a year ago. Mm. And she was the best. She was pretty much the reason I got into music, because she was a singer and a performer on stage and a pianist. And she was kind of my first glimpse into that world. She's the best. She's very, very fabulous, this woman.
I love that.
Very inspiring.
That's a perfect segue. Why don't you take us back to the beginning of your Fresh Starts journey?
I was trying to think of what I would say, because I feel like I've had a few, but one that particularly jumped out for me is starting producing. Mm. I had never dabbled in it before. I was just kind of, you know, the artist that would go to another producer to get my stuff done. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic hit, I kind of went into this spiral of like complete identity crisis. What do I do? How do I do it? Because you couldn't go and be with anybody. And a lot of where my happiness comes from is making music and sharing it.
Yeah.
And I was making the music, but then not being able to fully share it by, you know, producing it out and actually releasing it because right. I couldn't do it on my own. And there were ways to do it over, you know, over Zoom and stuff, but that yeah. the connection wasn't there and that just didn't, wasn't my vibe. But I decided to just dive into producing, and I spent, gosh, like, I think 5 months, I think it was 5 months straight, just in this little studio shed in my backyard that my husband and I built at the start of COVID. We were like, we have this really crappy building in the back that we don't know what it was used for before we moved here. But we're like, I think it's about time we turn that into a studio. Oh, and so as soon as we were done with that, I moved into it and I did not leave for 5 months. Which was a little nuts because I think I threw myself into it so hard that I was driving myself insane. But I taught myself how to produce, and it's given me I'm so glad that that happened, because now I feel like I have this freedom that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
Now all the sounds that are in my head, I can take it and I can do something with it, as opposed yeah. to try to tell someone else how to do it mm-hmm. yeah. or what I'm trying to get across. And so now, and I'm still very much learning how to do, I mean, I've released an EP that I produced myself, but at the same time, I'm still, I think I'll be learning for the rest of my life as far as like producing goes, or with anything really, but
yeah,
but specifically producing, it's such a, I don't know, it's such a fascinating thing, and it's given me a lot of freedom. And gave me a lot of, weirdly, it gave me a lot of comfort during the pandemic, because I was like, oh, now I can do something completely, utterly on my own.
Yeah.
And not have to rely on anyone else. And also see what it's like to put something out without anyone else's input, which was kind of scary, mm-hmm. but at the same time, really rewarding. Like I'm more proud of that EP than I am of anything I've ever done, because it yeah. was solely me. And I'm like, you did that. That's so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. So,
no, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
For the layperson, can you explain what like producing means? Like, cause that's what I'm like, I produce a podcast. Like and Jenny's produced events, but like, what does producing yeah. an album look like? What does that mean?
So it goes, so write the song, you know, mm-hmm. and like for me, I start on guitar okay. and I'm just playing around on my guitar, and I can, mm-hmm. you know, I'll write a whole song on guitar. And when you take it and you're producing it out, it's kind of like you sit there and it's nothing, and you go, okay, well, I have a guitar and a vocal. That's great. But now I need to go and figure out, does this have drums? Does this have strings?
Right.
Does this have... you know, some sort of synth pad that's underneath. It's essentially just the creation of the track that you're okay. listening to. It's the, like the bed of the song. And it's so involved.
Like, yeah.
Me trying to learn how to, I'm on Pro Tools, which is one yep. of the, yeah, that they call them DAWs. That I work on, and it's I guess it's funny, I've never actually thought about like what producing is, because yeah, there is a difference in producing, you know, yeah. events or podcast or a TV show or
right.
a film mm-hmm. or but all in all, like all of those, it's I feel like just like creating the experience producing is creating the experience. And so like when I'm producing, I'm creating the experience of the song.
I mean, at this level, it's really still writing the song. Like you said, you have the guitar and you have the vocal, but then you're like, well, what does the drum sound like? Is it that, you know, it's, and so that really starts painting the emotional landscape of the song. And it's, I imagine, I'm watching it sort of right now. My husband is starting to get to that place where he's going to start producing music again. And it's very different for me. But I imagine it's so intimate to do that with somebody, because you're kind of saying to them, like, come call yourself a writer of my song.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cause it's, there's the lyric aspect of it. And then all the music side is the production.
Right.
And
all of it.
And so that's why it's so, oh my God, it's so important to find. So if I'm working with somebody else, so important to find somebody who's on the same, like, on the same plane as you, because you could be like, in a literal sense, if you want to go to Hawaii but they want to go to Iceland, you're like going, you're trying to fly the plane in two different directions, and it's kind of like, oh wait, oh, and you're not going to come up with anything that you end up loving. So with my past collaborators and current collaborators, like one person I work with a lot is a guy named Steve Solomon, who's the best. And I did my very first EP with him. Actually, I did two EPs with him, and then Monsters I did with him, and then like a couple other things. But he's the best, and he's become a major mentor for me in the production space, which is so cool. And he is very, throughout our whole time working together, even when we first started, very, very much so him sitting there going, what do you think? What do you hear? How does this feel? Mm-hmm. And then there are some people, I've definitely worked with some people where you go in and they've got this idea of what it is, and you're going, that's not it. And they're like, oh, just, you know, but let me just go ahead with this. And you're going, but I promise you, it's not it. Yeah. But if you don't have the skill to be able to tell them what it is, then you're kind of like just saying no without saying yes to something else. And that's hard too, because it's such a collaboration that you don't want to just shoot something down without having something to back it up, which can be tough. And that's actually one of the reasons when I started even thinking about producing. In the beginning, it wasn't necessarily that I was going to produce this stuff and actually put it out. It was more like, I need to learn the language so I can better communicate with my collaborators, so that I can actually control what's being, because again, if you can't explain to them, then it's not their fault that they're not getting it right, because your own damn fault that you can't say.
It's hard. You know, I always think of, like, I don't really know that much about music production, but Billie Eilish and her brother, he produces all of her music, and you can feel the sort of like relational intimacy between them, because they probably have a shared language as siblings, right? That she can just be like, no, it's supposed to be this and not that. And that is very unusual, one end of the spectrum. I imagine most of what's happening is on the other end of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're anomalies. Like,
they are.
What a cool thing that they discovered that they can do that together.
I love to be able to take that in house and then one, be able to say, I'm going to take this from messing around on my guitar to releasing it, and not having to worry about anybody else, and not having to hand it over to anyone else, and then simultaneously getting that vocabulary up so that when you decide to go back, because I also imagine, I know it is very lonely to create music on your own. It can be very lonely. So to be able to then jump back in, sorry, I'll let you go. Yeah. To be able to jump back in and be able to really express yourself to somebody must be amazing.
Yeah. It's, making music is very isolating. Obviously when you're collaborating with somebody, then you have that, you know, partnership, and you have that communication, and it's fun, and I think maybe part of the reason I was losing my mind when I was working on the music that I did myself was it was just me. So
yeah,
I didn't necessarily get to turn to anybody and be like, what do you think? My brain hurts. I'm yeah. like, does yeah. this actually sound good?
Yeah.
But then I also, I think it forced me to learn to trust my own instincts and taste, which yeah. was interesting because I think a lot of the time you can kind of fall into like complacency might be a harsh way to put it, but like this way going like, well, someone else will know better. But right. really in the end, for me, like it's my words, it's my melody, it's mine. I have to trust that I'll know how it should come across. And that can, I feel like that can apply to so many different things, but especially for music, for me, like having that. And now when I go into other sessions, like the one where we wrote Monsters, I can be like, it's not that, I promise you, it's not that, but it could be this, let's try this. But I found like my voice was a little stronger, I guess. And I was a little more confident in what I wanted.
Yeah, so super empowering, right? That's got to be very empowering.
Yeah,
for sure.
So take
us
back.
It feels like a big metaphor for life too. Of like, you know, you can't go into a relationship and say like, that's not what I want, unless like you kind of know a little bit what you've had that vocabulary. You've worked on that alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to go back though, because you are a singer-songwriter at heart. So where did that begin? And you said you started very young. You grew up where? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a town outside of Atlanta. Okay. Nobody ever knows what it's called. It's called Cumming, which is a horrible name for a place, but but I grew up outside of Atlanta, and we moved to California when I was 13. So up until 13. I was there, and I kind of got into, it's the age old story of like, I came out of the womb singing, that always makes me roll my eyes. But it's like, I think because of my grandmother, it was kind of just a given that, you know, music was around. And then at 10 years old, I was doing like the recitals with my school and that type of thing, singing in church. And, when I was 10, my grandfather was dying of colon cancer. We would go visit with him, and he was on hospice, and I was watching all these people from their church come in and sing to him, and that was one thing that really made him happy, you could tell. And so I would go in, I was like, well, I can do that. And I would go in and sing him everything that I knew, and at one point I remember being 10 years old and thinking like, oh, I run out of songs that I know. Like I've got to write something. And so I wrote him a song, and it was the first song that I wrote. And it was just, I couldn't play an instrument. I was just singing, you know, a cappella, and wrote him the song. And I remember him, he was kind of at a point where he wasn't really communicating, but at the end of the song, he smiled. And I remember that feeling and being like, oh, like I want this feeling forever. And that really, that moment kind of started the songwriting, the love for songwriting, right then.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then he passed away soon after that. And it was like, I got to have that moment with him. And so that's really where it started.
Yeah. And it's such a language, right? Like you were saying, even with production, right? Music is a universal language, and it can touch people in ways that just regular conversations cannot. Right. And so I would love to talk moving into Monsters, especially. So when you released Monsters, you said you released it around Halloween time, I believe. Right. Yeah. I think. And you said it was, it was kind of like a horrific love song. And I listened to it and I was like, okay, this girl's been through something and now she is singing about it. So I would love for you to talk about where Monsters came from and the story behind it, if you wouldn't mind sharing, because from what I got from the song, as somebody who lived through what I believe the song is about, is when you fall in love with somebody and then they become not the person you thought that they were.
Yeah, for sure. It was, it kind of, you know, I weirdly, a lot of my songs will start one way and then end in another way. Sometimes I'll start something and then it's that idea is not enough to carry it through to being a finished song. So it started with something that happened like years ago. And I had like the idea for it. I had the chorus and actually, to be honest, I had written a whole song. It was actually called Closer.
Okay.
A while ago. I'm horrible with time. So it was called Closer at some point in time.
Yeah.
And I had had it forever and I had that chorus, like the Monsters scenario and the melody and everything. And I kept going back to it, but for whatever reason, it just wasn't right. And it just wasn't what I wanted it to be. So I wasn't going to release it. I wasn't going to produce it out or anything. And I had a session with Steve and my friend Ryan Short. And I went to Austin, Texas, where Steve was living at the time, and brought that one. And I played them the chorus. And they're like, we're working on that one. Like, that's the one we're working on right now. And we were diving into it. And it actually became, some of my songs will become a kind of blend of my experience and then other people's that I see that kind of mesh with my own.
Right.
And I'll take portions of like what a friend is going through and put it in there with what I'm going through. And then it becomes not just about me. And then obviously like I keep it from my own perspective so it doesn't get incredibly confusing. But that song is kind of a mashup between me and a friend's experience.
And I think it's such a universal experience, especially for someone that's been through a divorce, which I have, to and I say all the time, like in divorce especially, this person that you married becomes like this stranger, right? Like it's like a very scary stranger. And I felt so much of that in the song. It's like I didn't realize this was who you were. And so I just think it's, and that's probably why your music is so powerful, is because you do take that like quilted perspective of like all of these different stories. And then you kind of like make a character out of that. And it's such a universal feeling. So I love that. So what is coming up like music wise for you? What are you currently working on?
I'm back in, I call my studio the greenhouse.
I love that.
The entire inside green. And I'm just back in there and I'm back producing on my own for a bit. And I might get back in with other producers and writers, but right now I kind of miss doing it on my own. And so I'm kind of going, I think I'm going to just dive back in by myself. I've been writing a lot. I started the year off and I don't know what happened, but there was just this like flow. I would wake up in the morning and just sit down and I, for whatever reason, writing early in the morning has been my, I don't know if it's because I haven't thought about everything in the day yet, but it just flows out. So I've written a bunch that I'm now currently working on and producing. And I'm hoping that leads to, maybe it's another EP. I have enough for an album, but an album is kind of daunting for me to produce completely on my own. But I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe it'll be a mixture of things, but I'm excited. I'm really excited about working on this new music and kind of a new vibe that I've been playing around with.
Have you ever thought about producing other people's music?
I have. I was actually talking to my husband about this recently. I think because I'm still learning, it's an interesting thought to be like, come in and I'll be learning. But I think so, because my I have a twin brother who's an amazing singer-songwriter, and I've worked on stuff with him before. And I have a lot of fun working with him in the studio. Like, I had him on my Songs from the Greenhouse EP, and he just came in. I'd be like, I need some snazzy guitar situation. Come in and work on this. So we work really well together. And then I've definitely thought about producing for others. I think it'd be, I don't know. Producing is so exciting to me because there's so much that I don't know about it. And I'm really inspired by people like Imogen Heap. And like, I'm very excited about the whole.
I have a sort of a dunce question, because I don't know this. Do you find that producing is usually more male dominated, or is it, because I feel like every music, right, it seems like it is. So there's space is my point. There's a lot of space for you to take up there.
It's I've never worked with well, I guess that's not true. I have one friend, Hannah Elion, who's a singer-songwriter and producer, and she is literally the only person I've worked with who's female.
Seems like a producer. Gap in the market.
I'd say so.
Interesting.
I'd love to dive into that area. And it's definitely becoming more of a, I don't know, a thing, but yeah, it's kind of bizarre that there's so, there's just a lot of dudes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is and it isn't, because I think you alluded to this before, Skylar, is that so much of producing is using your intuition. Right. Mm-hmm. And is using that voice. And so if I think what you're doing now is so smart, you're learning this language of the production, because then when you inevitably become a very famous producer and what young musicians are coming to you, you will be able to use your voice with compassion and empathy and grace with them, while also boundaries, right? And understand like what they need and what you can offer them. But your intuition will be dialed up because you've been doing this, because women generally are told to not trust themselves, right? And so like what you said before, when you go in and you're like, no, I know it's not supposed to be this. Like, I feel like there's so much there with producing.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you. I don't know. It feels exciting. It feels like you are going to take this different approach and sort of get to like remake what this means. And who knows what amazing music what amazing musicians you're going to get to produce with and for and collaborate with. Like, it just feels really powerful and expansive.
Yeah. There's something about I was talking to my husband the other day about, I have a lot of kind of fear over, and this goes into acting too. There's a lot of this specifically around women where you have like an expiration date kind of a thing. Like, to a certain point, you can go do this thing, but then after that, they're not going to really want you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, just driven into your head. And I think most of the time when I talk to men about it, they're like, no, that's not true. And you're like, I get wanting to, see the bright side of everything. But at the same time, it's good to be realistic and be like, this is how people see things a lot of the time. And then you can flip it, as long as you're going into it knowing how things are now. And then you can go, well, I disagree. And I'm going to keep going, whether it's with, acting, singing, songwriting, producing, whatever. There's this thing that producing gives me that, like, I had someone that I was working with, asked how old I was at one point that I was writing a song with. And I said how old I was, and I was like, basically it was like, oh, well, like early 20s is like, you know, that sexy age where music is, you know, really coming, where what people want to see and everything.
Yeah.
And then past a certain point, it was kind of like, oh, well, maybe you can try out a different thing. And I remember being like, what? are you insane?
Right.
No. And I realized in that moment, because it really pissed me off at first, but then I had a good think on it, and I realized there was a lot of stuff that a lot missing as far as like what I look for in artists. Like, I want people writing about things that I'm going through. I'm 32, and I want people writing about things like divorce. Like, there's not a ton. Ash, yeah. Do you remember when Ash came out with Moral of the Story? Did you?
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fact that she name checked divorce. Like, that was a pretty bold move. Yeah. Just because it kind of sets you in this place that maybe, or the industry might think that some people won't relate to, but in the end, it's like, no.
We were just having this conversation with our friend Jane Kramer, who's a musician down in North Carolina, and she's a singer-songwriter, and one of her last albums is about miscarriage, and she was like, nobody wants to hear about miscarriage, right, an infant loss when you're singing songs on stage, but the amount of people that come to her, that come to her, and they're like, you changed my life with this album, right? I don't know, Skylar, I think you're just at the beginning. Like, you are, I like have chills thinking about it. Like, you are just at the beginning. You have a lot coming for you.
Thank you. Yeah, that I love that she wrote a whole album about miscarriage. Yeah. I find that, like I said, a lot of times I'm looking for people going through like what I'm going through right now with whatever it might be. And I think it's the safe bet to just write about, I don't know, like stuff that you go through when you're younger, because then obviously it will resonate with the people who buy albums. I think that's a lot of where it comes from. But at the same time, if you give people like real things that are happening, they'll go find it, and they'll go either, you know, whatever, buy it, go see you and see play or whatever. But I think for me, my next, from now on, it's just honesty. Yeah. That's my kind of gauge. Yeah. Like, if it doesn't scare me to say it, if it doesn't freak me out, then it probably isn't that, impactful. So, that's,
I love that. I love that. You know, it reminds me of what they were doing on Laurel Canyon in the 70s. Right.
I just watched a documentary in Laurel Canyon last night.
I was watching it a couple weeks ago. So good. Right. But I was just watching it a few weeks ago because I go down my rabbit hole of music documentaries. Yeah. The Wrecking Crew is like one of my favorite documentaries of all time. And, Carole King, Joni Mitchell, all these women. Right. Carly Simon writing about being alone in the room and hearing all these things. Right. Like, that's what you remind me of, right? It's like this hearkening back to saying, like, no, we're gonna sing about the real shit that's happening, and it's gonna be beautiful, and we're gonna produce this because that's what's gonna affect people, right? Mm-hmm. People are gonna really like, there's enough pop songs. We got the pop, right? It's done. Right. Like, it's time now to like really get into it. I love that. I think leading with honesty, and I was gonna say too, we've only been talking to you for half an hour, but it's very clear that you are a very kind person. And I think that, like, I'm guessing that you probably lead with kindness as a producer, as an actress, as all these things. And so people probably, I mean, I'm assuming they love to work with you, like whether it's on stage or screen or music or whatever, because you have a very beautiful energy. And I think that people feel that.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I think for me, I think a big thing to remember is like creating a good space is like it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just from literally what I want to be around, just chill people who are trying to do cool things. I don't know. I think it's so simple. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, we're excited. Like Jenny said, we are excited for you. You obviously have a lot of things that you're gonna do, and it's just awesome. And by the way, we just have to say, parenthood is one of our favorite shows. We just have to throw it in there. Yeah. It is. We love Parenthood.
I'm like, let's do a reunion.
What was that? You were very young on the set of Parenthood.
I was 20, I think. I played
younger.
I don't know how old I was supposed to. I don't remember how old I was supposed to be. Maybe 16, 19, 16. But yeah, I think I was 20 when I got it.
And speaking of doing things that were, if it doesn't scare you, why do it? Like you had some tougher plot lines there that you had to sort of represent the American teen in a lot of ways and that experience. And that must have been, that's a lot to take on even as a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Are you talking about the abortion episode?
I am talking about the abortion episode. Yeah.
That one definitely, it was so interesting. When I got that weirdly enough didn't scare me because it was like, oh, well, this is a real thing that
people
go through and we're representing it in a very, Jason Kadams, the creator of Parenthood, mm-hmm. just dealt with so many amazing mm-hmm. storylines in such a real way. I feel like this is like a through line throughout my whole life. I'm like, just honesty, pure honesty. Let's just be honest about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
But he dealt with that in a way that wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't playing it up and dramatizing mm-hmm. it in a way that was just for, I don't know. I feel like sometimes it can be, it was so heartbreaking to see how it affected everyone, how it affected my character and then how it affected Miles' character.
Yeah.
And because I think a lot of the time you don't see how it affects, he was just a boy.
And they did a great casting with him too, because he's such a great actor and they give him so much emotion. And I think so often we're used to seeing the girl be upset about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like the boys like playing basketball, you know, like
I loved seeing that switch. Yeah. I kind of loved that she was like, no, this can't be. And I remember having Peter Krause directed that episode.
Oh.
And I remember kind of being like, am I crying? Am I upset? We talked a little bit about it and it was kind of this thing of like, no, you're just like numb to it because it's this like, you're protecting yourself from this whole situation. But it was so interesting when that episode came out, like I did not see it as being weirdly, I don't know why. I didn't see it as being super controversial.
Yeah.
Right.
Just because it's like
it happens. Yeah.
It happens. Why are we ignoring it? And why are we pretending like this isn't a thing that people go through and treating it in a real way and not shaming it? That was the other thing. Mm-hmm. They didn't shame it at all.
Yep.
And I was like, yes, exactly. Because it shouldn't be a shameful thing. So I remember it coming out and I got a lot of messages.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah. I got a lot of, interesting. I got some that were, you know, almost like thank yous, which is kind of weird to get. Cause I'm like,
right.
You did a great job
in the role. So I understand it, but also it's like,
and representation is important. We need representation of these things.
Sure. But yeah, I definitely got, I got some, a lot of hate for that, which was, it was fine, but I was just more surprised, I guess. And I think it opened my eyes because I think I was just naive to the fact that like, I was just so in it. I was like, this happens and this is honest. And, but yeah, people were very, very upset with that.
We get a fair amount of that too. We're not in the same capacity, but where it's like, I forget that people think that divorce is like still bad and evil and shameful. And then we'll get some comment about it. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you for bursting my bubble. Cause I forgot that like people like you existed and I needed to remember that. It's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The people have such a narrow view of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you understanding that representation is necessary, whether it's in music or in TV. So because it can be really lonely to go through things in life and not see yourself in other art, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, Skylar, if somebody's going through a fresh start, what would be some wise words that you could impart to them?
I think my big thing is not to compare. Mm. That's a big one for me that I'm always constantly trying to remember. Because I think when you're going through something, for example, me, when I'm going through something or even just like the producing thing, I'm always looking for examples of other people doing that same thing who are like me. I'm like, I want to see that. Yeah. And then once I find that, then I latch onto it. And then I might latch onto it too much to where I'm like, oh, well, they're doing it better. They're doing it more. They're more successful at it, or they're this. And then it can kind of stop you from moving forward. And it's not helpful because it's like you've got your experience and that's it. Like it's yours. You can look at other people for inspiration, but let it be inspiration and just leave it at that. Because I think it can just stop you.
Yeah. It's so true.
What do they say? Comparison is the thief of
joy.
It's a thief of a lot of things. So it's, you know,
creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. Look for your inspiration, but then remember, like, you are the only one doing the exact thing you're doing in this exact moment at this exact time, being your exact self. So in that sense, you have a leg up. It's kind of freeing in a way. If you think about it, I'm the only one who can do it this way because I'm me. You know, no one else is me.
And it means that competition doesn't exist because of that. No. Everything is just inspiration and collaboration and because nobody else can be you.
Exactly.
I needed that message today. So thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
I did. And the last question, the hardest question, what was the last thing that you ate and truly loved?
I'm excited about this one. I love making pasta from scratch.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorite things to do. I'll have people over and we call them pasta parties and I'll just like put people to work and have us make the dough and do the whole thing. But the other day we had my husband and I will just do Zoom sessions with like our family. And this time it was with his dad and his stepmom and we made lasagna from scratch. We made made the noodles. We were on there for hours just making lasagna from scratch.
That's so nice. And so that was that.
I think we'll have it for probably 3 weeks.
Where did you meet your husband?
We met at a commercial audition. A McDonald's commercial callback. Very romantic.
Very LA story.
Right. Oh yeah. So funny.
I love that.
Yeah, we just hit 11 years together.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
11 years together and then we're going on what year is it? We're going on 7 years married.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Yeah. I love sweet meet cutes like that. Well, Skylar, you're wonderful and we're so excited for you and so happy to connect with you. And what's the best way for people to listen to your music and keep up with what you're doing?
You can find me on all the things, Spotify, Apple Music, definitely Instagram, and I'm trying to be better about TikTok. Instagram is where I would, share anything new, definitely. Yeah. But just look me up, Skylar Day. I'm just Skylar Day on everything, I think.
Lucky. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time, Skylar. And we'll link to all your stuff, too, so people can go in the show notes and find you. And please listen to Skylar's music. It is beautiful. It's heartbreaking. It's just gorgeous and honest, right? It's just very honest. So thank you so much, Skylar. Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here, and we're so proud of you.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to begin again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at afreshstory.com.